Hello, and welcome to the Sorry Mom podcast. I am your host, Danielle Mitchell, and I'm sitting here with baby Kateri, who's 1 year old. She thinks it's hilarious that I'm talking to her like this. She's the only one in the room. So I'm going to try to not be distracted by her cute face and perform here. And so welcome to Montessori Mom Podcast, the podcast where we talk about how to live out Maria Montessori's philosophy and methodology in everyday life. I am no Montessori certified teacher, and I am just an avid Montessori fan and read the books and try to kind of live this Montessori way at home. Last episode we talked about like respect of the child and giving them like freedom of movement, and I felt like I gave you the kind of ideal and talked a lot about this idea and then just left it at that and didn't give any like, here's what this might look like in everyday life. So that's kind of what I want to talk about this episode. But first, I'm going to give you a little life update because I feel like I've been doing that. Said I was going to do that. I'm going to do that at the beginning this time. So it is May in this point of time, and I kind of started like doing the whole spring cleaning thing last month. And, you know, that's also when I started this podcast last month. So yeah, I've been spring cleaning and also the baby has started walking. And so between trying to, change the house up a little bit for her for this stage of life, of her beginning to like really move around, and spring cleaning, I have like opened up 10 big cans of worms around the house, and these so basically started like 10 huge projects, and I'm kind of in the middle of them all, and of course this podcast is one of them. But I feel like this podcast is keeping me grounded in my motherhood because I tend to get a little hyper focused on things like, okay, I'm spring cleaning, and so that means I'm like gonna, yeah, I'm gonna clean the house. But then as you're cleaning the house, you realize how much crap you have that you don't need. And so like, it's like, oh, let's do this minimalism thing and get rid of everything. But also it's hard to clean this room because the paint's so old that it's chipping off as I'm vacuuming, or, you know, or it's just a horrible color and it makes me depressed. So let's just start all over and paint this room and paint the fireplace while we're at it and add a mantle and take the blinds down because I want more light. And that means we need shades now. And now that you paint the walls white, now the trim looks weird. So then you have to paint that. And then now it's like, we need a little table for Kateri to eat at. And we have to lock some more cabinets that we found out she's getting into, and all of this stuff. And it's also spring and I love gardening. So now I'm trying to like plant all this stuff outside, and then I'm trying to build planters and a compost bin, another compost bin, because I already have one. And so all of these things I feel like I'm in the middle of right now. So life feels exciting, but also very unfulfilling because I haven't like finished anything yet. And it's driving me insane. So, moral of the story, don't spring clean if you're like me, because you're going to end up like spring cleaning your entire life. And that's a lot of work. And then you're going to break a toe in the middle of it, and just everything's going to be crazy, and then you break your toe and you can't walk for a couple of days, and then still slow moving after that. So yeah, that happened too. In the middle of painting. So that's my life update. And last time we talked about respect of the child and freedom of movement. And I want to talk about how to make this a part of your life. Like last time we talked about how would it feel like, Maria Montessori explains, how would it feel like if you lived in a world of giants and everybody was bigger and taller and stronger than you and could just like pick you up and throw you around, not throw you around, but move you around like a rag doll wherever they wanted and like put you places that you maybe didn't want to be or you wanted to be somewhere else. So she's a lot about respecting the child and where they are in their place of development and not crippling them in that, but helping them build it. So instead of like, oh, you're walking, let me put you in this playpen so you can't get into anything, like help creating an environment where they can move around in it. And I don't mean this in a way like I'm one of those people that thinks you should house-proof your child. You shouldn't child-proof your house. And so, like, I really like adult spaces and adult things. And I really think that Maria Montessori's method really speaks to that part of me that's like, I don't want to give up my world. I need these things. And I don't think that's what she's saying. She is saying that, like you need to give your child a way to build up to those things. Build up to the adult things. So give them their own little place and then they're going to have a space for themselves and they're not going to like be constantly in your stuff. Like, so like in every room of the house, we try to have a little thing that's for Kateri. So like on the bottom of the bookshelves, like maybe the bottom bookshelf is one or two things for her, like books with real pictures in them. That's another thing we'll get into is like having real pictures for babies and not cartoons because you're trying to orient them to reality and cartoons aren't reality. They're fictitious. They're made up. Like they're a figment of imagination, literally. Like somebody imagined it and wrote it down. That's another thing. That's another story. But so in every place of the house, having a little space for her. So like, yeah, in the living room, like the bottom shelf of the bookshelf is something for her, and in the kitchen is a tiny little table that's her height and a chair that's her height. So she has a table that she can sit at and have a little snack, and we can teach her how to hold, like we can let her sit down with a cup of water and try to drink from her herself. And in our schoolroom, we have like the lower shelves are the lower shelf or two is stuff that she can get into or stuff that's for the older kids that she can explore that she's not going to destroy in exploring it. So things like that. So that's kind of like what freedom of movement in the house looks like. Also, I had a friend come over the other day who just had a newborn and she was like, oh, I'm listening to your podcast. And like, how do I do that? Like, it sounds like I can start now. And so it's kind of explaining to her what that would look like. Okay, if you have a newborn and you want to give them like this freedom of movement, Maria Montessori talks about having them, all things considered in safety, having them a little mat, like their own room with their little mattress, like a little mattress on the floor so that they can get in and out of it freely. Like they wake up in the morning, they're not crying for, they don't have to cry for an adult to get them out of bed. They can get up as soon as they can crawl. Obviously they can get up and like play with a quiet toy. Like there are things in the room that are for them that they can do, but they can get out of their own bed. Like they have that freedom to get in and out and explore their room, and they have something that's for them there. And they're not reliant on the adult for that always. She also talks about like for a baby before they can crawl, hanging up a mirror, a long mirror over like right level with the mattress so that they can see themselves and it will keep them more satisfied in that space and like help them, you know, lift their head up to look at themselves. Like they're working to see something else. So that like kind of exercises their head and help them, you know, like with tummy time, lifting up their head, working their muscles, starting that movement. So that's something else that she says you can do. And so in all of that, like the whole goal is to, there's this phrase that Montessori people use that says, goes, help me help myself. As in, this is a child speaking. Help me help myself. So in everything, like this child wants to do it themselves, and you're only giving just enough to help them do that. So this may or may not make sense to you, but in the horse world, whenever you're halter training a horse for the first time, like they've never been handled before, and you get this halter on them and they're like, they don't know what's going on. They don't know why this is on them, like what to do with it. And so you're trying to get them used to being led by this halter. You're trying to get them used to following you, right? So what you will do is you're trying to get them used to this pressure of being pulled by this rope. And so you give just enough pressure and you just kind of hold it there until they give into that. And then you let go. You're giving just enough to say, hey, I want you to come this way. And once they make the slightest movement toward the direction you're trying to get them to go in, you let go. So, so you want this person to move themselves. Like you're trying to get, like, educate them in the culture of your home. And this is how we do things in your home. You give them just enough pressure, unlike however you want to put that, with whatever you're doing, whether you're talking to them, whether you're holding their hand, trying to lead them somewhere, whether you're trying to like put a diaper on, like, oh, you know, just be still for just this moment. And like, you know, little things like that. So that's the idea, is that you want to do just enough to help them do it themselves. You don't want to do it for them. Definitely don't want to do everything for them. Like that's kind of the opposite of it. But you want to do just enough where they have that independent, like they get that feeling of independence and, oh my gosh, I did something. Like, how does it feel after a hard day's work and you accomplish something? They have that feeling of accomplishment and building themselves. And it seriously builds something, not only physically within them, but also spiritually within them. You know, emotionally, it gives them a sense of security that they can take care of themselves also. So that is, you know, the basics of, you know, a lot of the freedom of movement and independence. And I've got a crier on my hands. Sounds like somebody may be hurt outside. So that's the end of this episode. And we'll get to more of this next episode. And thank you for listening to Montessori Mom. Hey, guys, I'm back. So crisis averted, as in there wasn't a crisis. My 3-year-old just had to pee and the door was locked, so he couldn't get inside. Somehow the door got locked. And he was trying to follow the rules and not pee outside, because we have put that rule in place lately. So he was being a good little boy and screaming bloody murder to get inside. To continue, freedom of movement and how does that play out in our home with our children? And, you know, Montessori says the big thing is to prepare the environment. And that's a part of, you know, like I said, in our home, we have a little place for the children in every room to do something. Like they have their own shelf or their own little table or their own thing. So like the house is, like they have a place in our home, and like, but our home isn't like completely catered to them. Like we have our own things too, but they have stuff for them. Like we prepare for them. And so that's a big part of it. And I talked a little bit about a minute ago what to do for a newborn in preparing the environment and like freedom of movement for their bedroom. But also as they get older, you know, having clothes laid out for them. And if you prepare like for them, then you are going to be okay with whatever choices they're going to make. So you're setting them up to make choices that you think are appropriate. So if you're choosing which clothes to put in their drawer, then, you know, when they get dressed in the morning, it's going to be something that you want because you've said, oh, this is appropriate for them to wear and I'm putting in this drawer. So, like, if they're going to school all week, then, you know, come Monday morning, you need to have the school clothes in their drawer that you're okay with them wearing to school. Like, so you are controlling it in that way. That takes a lot of the, like, arguments of, like, between parents and young children. So, you know, you don't have to have that. That's a way to, you're preparing for them. And yeah, so that's something you can do as they get older. Not just for newborns, but have a little dresser drawer for them, you know, and a big long mirror so they can see themselves. They can have pride in dressing themselves, and you put the clothes in there that you're okay with them wearing. They get to choose, and then you can show them how to put them on. And a big thing the Montessori says when you're showing them how to do things is you have them, like, stand next to you and see it from your perspective. Like, you can't have them facing you, showing you, because everything will be opposite. Like, your hands are backwards from theirs and switch sides because your right is facing their left. I mean, like, we're Catholic, so if you face somebody and teach them how to do the sign of the cross, face a child, teach them how to do the sign of the cross, they're going to do it backwards, right? Like looking in a mirror. So, anyways, that's a thing, yeah. So that's what you can do to prepare the bedroom a little bit, kind of a little snippet of what you can do to prepare a bedroom for an older child. And so I kind of want to talk a little bit about how we speak to our children and act with our children around the freedom of movement. And a big thing that she says is, you know, letting them act for themselves. So say you are, like, you're trying to get them to come to you, they're running away. And she would say, like, you want as much as possible to avoid, like the giants, manhandling them, like coming up from behind, just picking them up. And they're like, oh, all of a sudden I'm suspended in the air. Like, what's going on? They don't know what's happening. They're confused. They have not put themselves up there. So my husband thinks this is hilarious behind me. I'm apparently his show tonight. He's watching me finish this podcast. So you would avoid doing that and try, if you can, obviously, if they're a super fast child and there is danger, like they're running into a road, their safety is more important than this principle at that moment. You want to have a child to be able to use this principle on in the beginning, like in the first place. So obviously, everything I say, safety first. But so you want, if possible, to go around in front of them and stop them, like, by getting in front of them and saying, hey, like, you can't be here, or we're walking the other way, or say, please take my hand. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes you have to put their hand in your hand and try to lead them along that way. Obviously there are instances with tantrums where they've completely lost control of themselves in public, and that's a completely another subject, I feel like. So, but just in acting with our children, so it's little things like this that you want to keep in mind, of trying to let them be in control of their body. And if you come around in front of them and they are blocked, they are gonna stop. You're not grabbing them. Like, they are stopping themselves. And then you then have their attention. Like, if you're down on their level and you're in front of them, like, hey, we're not gonna go this way, we're trying to go the other way. And then you give them the chance to act for themselves and turn around. So, like, another example is, say you're at church and we're all sitting down, and then we're supposed to stand up, and the child isn't standing up. And maybe you know that they know, or maybe they don't know, but you could say, everybody's standing up. We're going to stand up with them. And if they don't stand up, like most people, it's like, oh, okay, well, I will stand up. And if they don't want to do that or for some reason don't understand or are being obstinate, you could say, please show me how you can stand up. And then if they don't do that, say, okay, then you can like go to giving them choices. Could you please, here's your choices. You can stand up yourself or I can stand you up for you. Which would you like to do? And oftentimes if you break it down into a choice like this, like if I don't do this, this is what's going to happen. It helps them like foresee that because the human person does not have that forethought. Like that's a certain part of your brain that doesn't get fully developed until you're in your 20s. Sometimes even for females, usually for females, it is developed by their 20s, but for men, it's not until like 24 that it's fully developed. It's like your forehead. It's like the part of your brain that's your forehead up there. That's a prefrontal cortex where all that forethought can happen. Like they're not thinking, they're just saying, no, I don't want to stand up. They're not thinking, if I don't stand up, I'm going to get in trouble. Like they're not there yet. So you have to lay that out for them. And then that often helps them do what they're supposed to do, go along with the crowd. Like, and I don't think that is not impeding their freedom because, I mean, freedom is having the ability to choose the good. And that is at least the Christian definition of freedom. Like, it's not freedom as license. Like, that's not what Montessori ever talks about. It is not freedom as license. And some of the things that she would do, I'm like, wow, that sounds pretty stern. Like, I feel like I'm a stern person. I'm not sure I would go that far as to do that. But she is very much like, freedom is not license. It is, you're giving this person the ability to choose the good. And you as the parents are showing them this is good. It is good to stand up with everybody right now because we are a community and we are doing these actions together to be in community and be in relationship and do this thing together. So that is another example of acting with your children, like carrying out this freedom of movement in our actions with our children. So yeah. I think that's probably enough for now. That was a lot. And I just wanted to finish that thought, finish this episode and not leave you with sounds of a screaming child in a possible emergency and wondering what was going to happen. So thank you for listening to Montessori Mom. And I hope that you get something out of it. I'm not quite sure how to, like, I don't know if you can leave comments or contact me somehow, but I'm on Instagram. I think my handle is Danielle M. Mitchell. It's also tagged under Montessori Mom. And I'll probably upload a video of some kid doing something in my house with this episode just to give you a little snippet of how we do Montessori in our home, because this is about Montessori in everyday life. Again, I'm not a Montessori certified teacher. Like, my kids don't go to Montessori school. We homeschool. But like, I do think that Montessori's philosophies and methods are amazing. And if they went to school, of course, I think it would be awesome to send them to Montessori school if that were ever financially a viable option and we couldn't homeschool anymore. So again, thank you for listening, and I hope you're having a wonderful day.